But what they did is they wrapped him in a skin, put a headdress on him, brought him a special kind of milk. And he then made him icons. And he said, look, the skin is like the vestments I wear as your bishop. And the headdress that you put on is like the bishop's mitre. You know, and then this milk that you do to show that I'm part of your family and part of your tribe is like communion, and we're part of an even greater tribe and part of the body of Christ.
There's a new bishop for the Orthodox Church in Africa, and he represents a first. What does that mean? Well, we'll find out in just a minute on Come Receive the Light. This weekly broadcast is a unique outreach of the Orthodox Christian Network on the web at myocn.net. We'll also talk with the head of a very successful fundraising society, which is uniting the giving power of both men and women.
The more work I'm able to engage in Philoptochos and in church work in general enhances my ability to be a professional. And, you know, it feeds your soul and it feeds your performance on all areas.
There are so many great quotes about the benefits of generous giving. A couple of them that are anonymous say, I wondered why somebody didn't do something. Then I realized I'm somebody. And it is the heart that does the giving. The fingers only let go. And then finally, a former president, Jimmy Carter, said, I have one life and one chance to make it count for something. My faith demands that I do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever I can, for as long as I can, with whatever I have, to try to make a difference. Opportunities to share your time, talent, and resources abound, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later. Welcome to another edition of Come Receive the Light. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. Well, the work of missions has always been an act of giving. One of my best friends in college headed off to the mission field in Central America after graduating and getting married. He and his wife raised their own support, raised a family, and built up a mission school for the next several decades. Some might see it as a sacrifice, but in talking with them, they saw it as a calling and wouldn't have it any other way. Reaching out to others can be done in so many ways, including staying right where you are, as we hear in this first conversation. Here's Father Chris.
On December 21, 2014, His Grace Bishop Neophytos, the first native Kenyan bishop, was ordained Bishop of Nitria by His Beatitude Theodoros II, who is the Pope and Patriarch of Alexandria and all of Africa. In addition to his duties as a hierarch, he serves as the Director of the Archdiocese Affairs for the Church in Kenya, and teaches at the Makarios III Patriarchal Seminary in Nairobi. In honor of this historic event, we have asked Father Robert Lawrence, pastor of St. Luke's Greek Orthodox Church in Morrisville, North Carolina, to speak with us. Welcome, Father Robert.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
Let's start out with, when did you first meet His Grace, Bishop Neophytos?
I actually met him, one of the first people I met when I went to seminary. I was actually unpacking my car in front of the for the dorm there at Holy Cross back in 2002. And he came up with a group of students. Then he was Father Neophytos. Mm-hmm. And I had been to Africa a number of times in the Navy before I actually had gone to seminary. And so I'd learned a little bit of Swahili. And I said, oh, I know Swahili. And he said, what do you know? I said, well, it's kind of embarrassing. So I told him, Wewe umrembo zaidi kuliko nyota. And he fell over laughing. And all the other students said, what did you just say to him? And he said, you're more beautiful than the stars. That's the only thing I had learned.
And
so he decided we'd be good friends from that point on.
That's beautiful.
And he actually celebrated my marriage with Father Stavros Akritanakis when I got married a couple years later. And he mentioned that story when we got married. He said, you'll tell your wife that every night before you go to bed.
Oh, not kidding.
So we've been very
beautiful.
Close for a long time.
That's beautiful. Well, let me ask you this, because there are many times that we cover events at OCMC, the Orthodox Christian Mission Center, and we speak to many missionaries. And I always like to ask the question, what inspired you to make your trips and make second trips to Kenya in 2014?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, I was in the United States Navy before I went to seminary, and I'd been in East Africa a number of times, probably almost a dozen times to Kenya and to Tanzania, and I love the people, I love the area, I love the culture, everything there, and I always kind of wanted to go back. And then as a clergyman, having been ordained, just knowing the needs and wanting to take part in that mission and ministering and serving in many different ways. And so I've always wanted to do that. I've always had a heart for missions, as some people say.
And when you went there, how long were you there? What did you do?
I went, the first trip I went was to Tanzania with His Eminence Metropolitan Hieronymus. And I was there for a couple of weeks doing catechism. We were teaching readers. And then this past summer, I went to the Turkana in northern Kenya on a construction trip. So we were there for 2 weeks helping them build a church.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen some of the things that Father Martin has shared with me, CDs, and we've actually played them on our website many times, YouTube channels and what have you. The music is very different in the Divine Liturgy, extremely upbeat, is it?
It is, and one of the things I told my parish when I came back, when they come forward for communion, one of the things, one of the cultural aspects they've baptized is they'll bring out their drums and they'll start to sing beautiful hymns. They're Orthodox hymns, but they do them with their kind of cultural musicality, and it's the most joyful, joyous thing. I told my parishioners they're going to have to start dancing before communion if they want me to give it to them.
Well, I'm sure that's quite a culture change from one to the other.
It is. It is. And of course, the bishops there and the priests are very careful to baptize the culture as they go forward.
Right.
But it's such a beautiful, joyful thing to see how excited they are to be Orthodox and to be able to receive communion, to be able to experience the true faith as we sing in the hymn after communion.
Because many times we have icons, and in our churches, most Orthodox Christian churches have icons, and we look to those as that perfect image. And what I've said to some people when they want to put on the long beards and do the robes and all that, which is fine, that's a part of our tradition.
Of course.
But I say, you know, remember, we baptize the culture that we go to. I don't necessarily want you to look like a saint. I want you to live like a saint.
Exactly.
And that's
and
the key.
I'll tell you one of the most beautiful icons that I saw when I was with the Turkana. Of course, they do put, you know, they have the icons, and they're canonical icons. They're just the icons you find in the Orthodox Church. But probably the most beautiful icon I saw were the people. When we were celebrating liturgy for the first time, the church wasn't even completed yet, so it didn't have a roof on it. And the sun was, I mean, beaming down on us. It was very hot. And what I didn't notice it, but one of the other team members pointed out to me afterwards, is the Turkana would be sitting in the church, but with the sun beating down on them, and they would take turns standing. And the one person would sit in the shadow of the other as they were celebrating the liturgy, and then they would switch off to be able to get some relief from the heat.
That's amazing.
And I thought, what a beautiful image of the kingdom of God, that we're serving each other even as we're worshiping and praising at the footstool of his glory.
Sitting in the shadow of that image. Wow. That's very powerful.
It was beautiful.
The culture in Kenya is very unique, as you've given some idea of that. Especially of the Turkana tribe, what are some of the challenges that the church faces there?
I mean, the one that Father Martin had pointed out, and he was very careful as he was going in and witnessing to them, is their nomadic culture. And their elders are very wise in that they've seen what's happened with other faiths coming in and trying to change their way of life.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very suspicious of that. And what they did when he came, he said, look, we just want to share with you the revelation that we have in Christ. And one of the elders told me before we left, he said, the reason that we became Orthodox is because we recognized our faith in what you were already teaching. And so it resonated with their experience of God. I think it was Archbishop Anastasios of Albania who said that every culture has its own version of the Old Testament, and that they'd already had an experience of God, so Orthodoxy kind of fulfilled it. But what they didn't want was us to come in and establish a new culture for them, but they wanted their culture to be baptized, as we mentioned before. So part of the challenge is many times they literally will chase clouds. They'll see a cloud and they'll follow it through the desert, waiting for it to give up its rain. Because of the drought situation that's there. So they're very mobile, and so that you have to account for that. Now, some of them are settling in villages, and that's why we built a church in kind of their village centers, but you also have to be able to go out into the bush to minister to them as well.
Okay, so if we're running in the bush and we're nomadic, we don't have a sense of luxury, do we?
None whatsoever, and I actually got to be close with one of the Turkana tribesmen. His name was Naninya, and he took me out to his family, and all of their belongings can be packed up on a camel for them to leave, and they live in these huts that are made out of thorn bushes, and they take the thorn bushes and they make a little hut out of it, and what that does, it provides shade, but then the wind can still blow through it, so you get a few degrees cooler within the huts that they have. And then one of the big challenges that I actually spoke with Archbishop Bakayas about was that they're a polygamous culture. So Naninya has two wives. He's 25. He has six kids.
Mm.
And so that's going to be something that the and with Father Zacharias, who's the priest there, in where we were building the church, and he said, you know, we just have to be very gentle and be patient for the Holy Spirit to move in their lives as they reveal to them. The priests only have one wife, but they're trying to wait to baptize that aspect of the culture to have them recognize that it needs to be a different sort of marriage.
It's very interesting. Very, very interesting.
It's fascinating. Yeah, and it's beautiful to see how patient and loving they are as they approach the culture and allow the gospel to take root and let the gospel bring forth the repentance as opposed to trying to impose something on them.
You know, it's also, Father Robin, you can correct me if you feel I'm wrong here. God gave us a conscience, which means, I believe, deep down, a person knows if they're right or wrong. They live in their culture, and it's not necessarily up to us to go out there and browbeat them about what we feel is right and wrong, but to lead them to Christ and to be lights of Christ for them so they can follow us as an example, right?
And absolutely. In watching how Father Zacharias and then Father Vladimir, who's in kind of the main city there in among the Turkana, the way that they solve these pastoral problems are so much wiser and holier than what I would do going in outside that culture. Mm-hmm. So there's something beautiful about allowing the Holy Spirit to operate within that culture, within their own wisdom, to draw out how the gospel looks in their culture and teach us in the process how to more fully understand the presence of God in our lives.
Now let's go to the bishop that we've been speaking about. I mean, there have been several bishops serving in Kenya in the past. So what's the significance now of having a native Kenyan as a bishop?
You know, one of the first things he emailed after he had been elevated, and when he goes to the villages, he said they all start crying, "Behold the black bishop, behold the black bishop," you know, as he comes in. And he told me some of the children actually asked him if now that he was a bishop, if he would turn white.
Wow.
Because their experience of all the bishops have been that they've been white bishops. Mm-hmm. And so they thought maybe that meant when you become a bishop, you become white. And so he's explained to them, no, this is, you know, I am of this people, and I'm a bishop. And I think in a way it's almost an icon of that culture becoming fully incarnate and the gospel becoming fully incarnate in that culture, because now they can look at the bishop and say, I can be a bishop, that this is part of I am part of this, that this church is something grounded in my own culture, my own identity, and my own person. And it's a really beautiful thing to see, the excitement that he brings when he goes to the villages.
I've never gone on a mission trip, and I hope someday that the Lord will allow me to do that. I have one final question for you. I mean,
yes.
I understand the new bishop was also made a Nandi tribe leader. What does that mean?
He was actually made an elder, and okay. I asked him if he wanted me to convey anything. Of course, he conveys his blessings, but he also that ceremony was very important to him. He said a lot of people, I didn't realize this because I don't follow the Facebook stuff, but I guess a lot of people were surprised and even critical of that, and they said, you know, is this pagan? What's going on here? And he said, look, this is a beautiful example of their culture being baptized. And when he spoke to them, they actually made him an elder of elders, so almost king of kings.
Right.
And what that means practically is that he has the right of first speech in any assembly.
Hmm.
So they're recognizing his seniority and his pastoral authority by doing that. But what they did is they wrapped him in a skin, put a headdress on, and brought him a special kind of milk. And he then made him icons. And he said, look, the skin is like the vestments I wear as your bishop. And the headdress that you put on is like the bishop's mitre. You know, and then this milk that you do to show that I'm part of your family and part of your tribe is like communion, and we're part of an even greater tribe and part of the body of Christ. And so he takes those things and he uses them as teaching opportunities to show that, you know, orthodoxy is part of the lifeblood of these people and that they're now beginning to find their way of expressing it. And it also recognizes his authority and his standing as a bishop. Now he's an elder of elders within that tribe, and so they've wrapped it all into one thing. It's not secular at all. It's the entire culture and tribe and faith are all wrapped up into one experience.
Father Robert, this has been an incredibly fascinating time with you. We wish His Grace Bishop Neophytos, the first native Kenyan bishop, many years. And we thank you and wish you that when you go in your next mission trip, that you'll come back and you'll share these stories again with us. God bless you.
Thank you so much, and you.
This fascinating story can be reviewed online at the OCMC website, the Orthodox Christian Mission Center website, and we'll have a link directly to that site and the full written article on our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net, where you'll find out all about this ministry outreach. Of course, you can listen again to this conversation when you go to that website. Simply click on the Listen button at the top of the homepage and select CRTL, Come Receive the Light. Our archives will open up. That's myocn.net, and select the Listen button on the homepage. All this month, our theme is missions, and you'll find all of the Come Receive the Light conversations there from this month on the website. You know, as followers of Christ, we are all called to share the gospel, to be missionaries. And our prayer at this particular outreach is that we can encourage you as you travel your own unique missionary path. And now with our second discussion for today, here again is Father Chris.
The Greek Orthodox Ladies Philoptochos Society Incorporated is the duly accredited women's philanthropic society of the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America. These dedicated women are truly the friends of the poor. They have gifted over $3 million in the last 2 years alone. Today we have the newly appointed Maria Logos Esquire, president of the National Philoptochos Society, with us to share her vision for the next two-year term. Maria, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Father.
We're delighted that you have been appointed president of the National Philoptochos. It's now several months, but the work of the Philoptochos is not new to you. So when did you first join Philoptochos? And I guess the obvious question is, what inspired you to continue?
I formally joined Philoptochos when I was 18, but there really has never been a time in my conscious life that I wasn't involved with Philoptochos. My mother was a chapter president from the time I was 6 or 7 years old. And I would say almost continuously since that time, Philoptochos has been a focus in our family life and in my own personal life. As a young child, if I was good in church, I was able to say, "Vis Christus Philoptochos," at the back of the church. And later on, you know, my mother and her friends used all of us to further their goals. And and then in 1986, Archbishop Yakovos appointed me to the national board, and my national experience commenced at that point and has continued.
All right. Now, the Philoptochos Society, if I'm not mistaken, please correct me, 441 chapters, 16 national charities, and 6 organizations of ecumenical outreach, of which one of them is OCN.
Yes.
So, my goodness, this is a full-time job. Aren't you an attorney as well?
I am an attorney. I'm still maintaining that position, but I'm blessed to have a very, very dedicated team of co-workers. The National Board has nearly 100 women who are focused daily on the operation of Philoptochos and the furtherance of our mission. We also have professionals who work with us in the national office. You know, is it a full-time job?
Almost.
But fortunately, I get a lot of assistance from a lot of other resources.
Well, I have to say that Archbishop Yakovos of blessed memory, he was my spiritual father, he ordained me, he chose and he was able to put into place people that have grown throughout the years in the church, and clearly you're one of them now into the position as national president. In the 1930s, Archbishop Athinagoras worked to establish a national women's organization as the official philanthropic auxiliary of the church. Women's roles in society have changed, though, so much since then. What are some of the challenges and the goals that you have in the coming years leading this group?
And our Father, we spoke about that at our recent meeting of the National Board. And every one of us understands that Philoptochos has developed enormous fundraising skills. We are very good at charity. I would like to see the women of Philoptochos and the men of Philoptochos, we're happy to have men as well, join us in what I guess is a more hands-on kind of philanthropy, perhaps a back-to-basics. You know, one of the things that I discussed this weekend was a challenge to Philoptochos chapters across the country to serve the hungry, to feed the homeless. I'd like to see us do that. I'd like to see us do more doing. And if charity is giving and philanthropy is doing, that's where my focus would like to be. We have other goals, you know, the kind of goals that all organizations have faced, membership and greater outreach, which I thank you for this opportunity to start on that endeavor.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And whatever we can do to help it, as you know, in the future, we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. At the parish level, I've been a parish priest now about, well, more than three decades, let's just put it that way. And I'm constantly told that there isn't enough time in the week to keep up with the demands of life. I mean, things have changed. We now have two-income families. Before, we had the father working. The mother would be at home. She would raise the children. When the children went to school, she was able to come down to the church, and she was able to work at the church and feed the hungry and make the cookies and do all the wonderful things that the ladies do. But things are changing, and society is changing. So do you have any plans to encourage this next group of women to continue your holy efforts?
Absolutely, Father. I mean, working women are clearly going to be a strong part of the organization as it goes forward. And if I can be the poster child for working women in Philoptochos, that's okay with me. Mm-hmm. What we'd like to do is to make philanthropy and Philoptochos work into a family enterprise, so that we want you to be able to spend time with your children while doing good. We'd like to enhance Philoptochos' role in the entire life of the church. From a personal perspective, I find that the more work I'm able to engage in Philoptochos and in church work in general, enhances my ability to be a professional and you know, it feeds your soul and it feeds your performance on all areas. I think we're going to have to be more flexible and learn to develop avenues of opportunities for everyone that will accommodate the demands that they have from other aspects of their lives.
So you feel that the giving that you have done, not necessarily the monetary, but also the time and talent that you've given, has also helped to shape you as a professional, correct?
Absolutely, Father. Okay, I think, as I think I mentioned recently, you know, serving the meals, it doesn't only nourish those people, it nourishes our souls as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let me ask you this. Was there a charity or an experience that you remember when you thought to yourself, this is why I'm proud to be a member of Philoptochos?
That's an interesting question, and you'll appreciate this because I think if I've answered this question before, I always go back to an experience that I had in the 90s in Miami. I was asked to go down to a church there that was having some challenges with respect to their Philoptochos chapter. I went, and I addressed them, and at the end of the meeting, I noticed that there was a woman who appeared to be well into her 90s, mm-hmm. and who was very, very engaged in the meeting. And at the end of it, I asked to be introduced to her, and I said to her, you know, how is it that you continue to be an active member of Philoptochos? And she told me that she attended every meeting and participated to the extent that she could in every endeavor. She explained that in the 1930s, she was a young mother in Brooklyn, New York, not very far from where I live, mm-hmm. and she had lost her husband and had three children. It was Christmas time, and they had no money certainly none for toys, not even for clothing or for a Christmas meal. And she said it was very cold, and on Christmas Eve or the day before, she got the knock on the door. She went to the door, and there were three women there. And one was carrying a bag of toys, and one was carrying a bag of clothes, and one was carrying a bag of food. And they were from the local Philoptochos chapter. And she said that from that day on, she committed herself to always doing whatever she could for Philoptochos. And that image and that story and the beautiful face of that woman has stayed with me throughout my experience. And it encourages you when you feel a little bit overtaxed. And it makes you proud when in almost everything you do for Philoptochos.
I think it also that's a tremendous story. It also gives us the ability to not take ourselves so seriously, mm-hmm. and not think that our situation is so bad. I remember the story when I was talking with some Goyans a couple of years ago, and they said, "Well, you know, this man was complaining that he only had five pairs of shoes. And I said, well, that's rough. I said, but what's the guy going to say who has no feet? So it's a matter of perspectives, you know, of what is important in life. And clearly Philoptochos is on the cutting edge of doing wonderful things. Now, I know that men are also allowed into Philoptochos. So talk to us about that, because that's something new for many people.
It is fairly new, although it goes back about at least a decade now in Philoptochos. I think it was at the 2004 convention. We introduced a change to the bylaws that welcomed associate membership into Philoptochos. Although some of our associate members have challenged us with respect to not being able to vote and things of that kind, but we have certainly welcomed them. And then, as I mentioned to you earlier, Father, we're hoping to be able to bring the formerly silent partners in Philoptochos, the husbands, mm-hmm. the sons, the nephews and brothers, and bring them into our work. We welcome them.
I love what you're saying about bringing the family into the work of Philoptochos, because we know how busy people are, and if they can do something together, that's, I think, a great step forward. Maria, I want to thank you very much. I can't say enough about the wonderful work of Philoptochos. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've been involved when we have visited people in the hospitals, when we have fed people, when we have brought food and clothing to people. And I want to thank you for all you do and to congratulate the National Philoptochos and pray that everything you do in the future will be blessed by God. We'll be there at OCN with our listeners worldwide to stand by you and to promote everything that you do.
Thank you so much, Father. We look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A lot more information about the Greek Orthodox Ladies Philoptochos Society is on the web at philoptochos.org. And you're listening to Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. I'm Mike Trout. Thank you for joining us today. And I encourage you to go to our website as well at myocn.net and review all of the resources that we have available online. That's myocn.net. And perhaps you'd like to join with us as a partner, a financial partner. Just click on the Donate Now button and discover all of the ways that that can take place. That's myocn.net. Join us next week if you can, and remember to always have faith in what you listen to.